You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
When I was a little kid, I remember from kindergarten on up, I was so excited for the first day of school. My mom would take us a couple weeks before and we'd go get all of our new school uniforms. And I'd have a khaki shirt and khaki slacks, and she'd sew on the patches that said Christ the King Elementary by hand. And they were crisp and they were pressed and they were ready for the first day of school. And I remember kindergarten, I remember first grade, I remember following my big brother, who was a year older than me, through all of those classrooms. And I'd sit in the classroom so excited for the first day of school, and the teacher would inevitably look at me and she goes, "Oh, Ken Daigle, are you Glenn Daigle's brother?" And I'd go, "Uh-huh." And she goes, "Are you as smart as he is? Are you as smart as your brother?" Today, I can gladly answer, yeah, I am really different than Glenn, but I'm just as smart as Glenn. Glenn was book smart. Glenn was the valedictorian of our grammar school, right? So it was interesting growing up around Glenn, but it gave me anxiety about meeting up, matching, measuring up against this Eagle Scout valedictorian older brother. But I still was excited for school, for my friends, for the community, for the new uniforms. That's why I don't wear khaki ever again. 12 years of khaki, I'm done, right? Done with khaki. So, but that kind of energy translated into an enthusiasm for learning that I've always had. I remember going to high school and we decided not to go to the local high school. My brother decided we were going to go across town. And so I used to take the ferry across the Mississippi River and take the Elysian Fields Avenue bus through the French Quarter and up Elysian Fields Avenue. It was literally out of a Tennessee Williams novel, I swear, to my high school, which was an all-boys Catholic high school where we wore khaki uniforms again and dress blues. It was a Navy, mandatory Navy ROTC school as well. So I got to wear costumes, drag. And we would march around the parade grounds in our dress blues, pretending to be soldiers. And it was just fun. It was fun and I loved it. I loved school. So when I moved to New York and became a student again, I became a student of theater. I became a student of dance, of singing and learning all it was that to create a musical, theatrical experience that was all new to me. And when that started to fade away and it was time for a new career in my life, I went back to school. And I remember the first day I showed up at Unity Village, and I remember the first day I showed up in the ministerial program, that I moved onto campus, and I was there to learn. And boy, did it explode. You know, that energy of this time of year, back to school time of year, is important for each and every one of us, not only to remember our only experiences of school, whether they be good or bad, a struggle or joyful, but to learn from them. And it lends us to the question, are you still teachable? Are you still in a place where you're looking to learn the lessons from life, learn the lessons that your teachers, your mentors, your fellow students, and that life itself is bringing to you? The question is not simply about whether we've grown old. We've all gotten older. None of us are in kindergarten anymore, not even the little ones we had up here. I watch as my children just keep growing and growing. And I looked at my daughter this morning going, "Who is that young lady, right? Who is that 11-year-old who now is inhabiting my child?" She's no longer mine, and she's not a child. She's a young lady, and it changes. The question is whether we've continued to grow like they continue to grow. Because as you're here on the planet, if you're here on this earth, there are lessons. This is your curriculum. It's not a judgment. It's not a punishment. It's not a reward. It's your curriculum. This is your curriculum for this soul's journey on life. What are you meant to figure out here so that you don't have to come back and do this life again, right? So that when you come back, it is at a different level of understanding, and that we can incorporate these lessons to make difference in our lives. What if we were able to choose curiosity before certainty? I wonder why they're behaving that way. I wonder why they think that I would have liked that, right? I wonder why this is happening. What has gone on before that has caused this to happen? And that curiosity is what we see with kids. I've told this story before, but it because he's beyond it now, but my little one, when he was really little, when Joshua was really little, we'd get him a new toy. The first thing he would do would be break it apart to see how it worked. And then he'd hand it to me and say, fix it. Right? But the curiosity was, how does this function? How is this happening? And that curiosity will serve him well if he's able to hold on to it and not get jaded, like so many of us get jaded. Oh yeah, been there, done that, know that. You can't teach me anything. And when you start saying that to yourself, nothing new to learn here. Danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson. I'm really dating myself now. But they did do a reboot of that. They did do a reboot of that. Wonder before judgment. Wonder before condemnation. Wonder before abdication. Wonder before evacuation. Wonder what's going on with this person. Wonder what's going on with my spouse. Wonder what's going on with my business partner. Wonder what's going on in my spiritual community. Right? Those wonders are really important to us. And excitement mixed with anxiety. Yeah, it was scary going into new schools. It was scary meeting new people. It was scary being the gay kid in an all-Catholic boys' school. Yeah, it was scary. But I found my peeps. I found my club. I found where I fit in and found a way through it. And that's what we all get to do in each different part of our lives. How many people have moved to San Francisco from somewhere else? Or moved away from San Francisco to somewhere else, right? Right? And so, yes, wasn't that scary to be in a new town? No, it was exciting, right? But it can be anxiety producing not to know where things are. And lifelong learning is about our ability to fall, to make mistakes, to recover, and to try again. That certainly was school for me. That certainly was school, although my husband will tell you, I didn't suffer my failures at school, in ministerial school, lightly. After all those years of not trying to compete with my brother, when I went to ministerial school, when I got a B minus on a paper for the first time, I thought it was the end of the world. Right? It was actually a B plus, but you see, in my head, it's a B minus. I'm already degrading. It's like, why didn't that teacher see what I was really doing? That ability to get up and try again. What I know today with the lesson I learned from that is that teacher was right. That teacher was pushing me because he knew, he saw something in me that I wasn't delivering on a paper. Wasn't delivering that I could. And he remains to be one of my favorite teachers that I had in all of my life. And the day we decide we have nothing left to learn, gotten it all already, is the day we stop growing. And life is about growing, growing wiser, growing more patient, growing more capacity. Capacity for whatever is going to happen and what's being asked of you. Because what's being asked of you today, I am certain, is more challenging than you have experienced in the past. Because the world is more challenging than we've ever known it. And what is being called upon from each and every one of us is to step up, to rise up, to be the spiritual being in a human experience, to be the adult in the room, to be the wise one, to be the patient one, to be the curious one, to be the generous one, to be the compassionate one, because that's what the world needs. Howard Thurman quote, my favorite in the world is, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is more people who've come alive. So what is your passion? What is your purpose in life? And why are you here? And what can you bring to the study of life, to the experience of life for other people that will help expand this? When you realize that life is not happening to me, we say that all the time, life is not happening to me. I'm not the victim of what life is happening. Life is happening for me. But there's a problem in that equation. We talked about it last week, but I want to reiterate it for everybody who's here today. Life is happening for me has this idea that the universe or God or spirit, whatever it is handing out things to us because we deserve them, or because they like us, or because we've done something good. It's our karma. We're getting this. Let me be really clear. God's spirit life is not handing out something to you because you've been good. Because you are good. You already are. The universe, all of life, is the field of infinite potential and infinite possibility. What's blocking it is our own belief systems. Life is not happening for you. God is not the universe is not Santa Claus handing out your Christmas presents. What it is the field we get to interact with and live into. The more positive expression for me is life is happening with me. So that what I vibrate with, what I bring to the equation, what I bring to the study, into the interaction of life, is how I'm going to get things back. Life is happening with me. How I show up matters. How you show up matters more than you know. So are you still teachable? Are you still participating in the creation of this life? And stop asking why this is happening. Ask, how can I affect it? What can this experience teach me? And how will I participate in whatever comes next? Because there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee. Right? Anybody make plans and watch them all just change right in front of your eyes? Right? In a moment's notice, things that you thought were certainties and never ending change or certainties of your life shift, get taken away. The job ends. The company closes its doors. The relationship comes to an abrupt, unforeseen end because either they leave or they die. And you're left. And the question is, how will I interact in this experience? How will I choose to live with this new reality, with this uncertainty, and with the certainty that it will change again? That's how you become a lifelong learner. A lifelong learner, not expecting, oh, I'm going to get to this point. I'm retired now, so everything is going to be set. Nothing's going to change. Ha. Ha. That's a good one. And that belief that because I'm retired, things should stay a certain way and stay the same and things aren't going to change will either keep you locked in a pattern you don't like or will cause you all the pain when life will change anyway. And life will bring its own lessons to your doorstep and say, what will you do with this? What will you do in this circumstance? And One of the greatest teachings that that teacher, my B-plus teacher, Robert Brummett, gave me was his teachings of Ken Wilber. How many know the teachings of Ken Wilber, integral studies of transcend and include? So I'm just going to give you a brief one. We could do a whole series on Ken Wilber and lifelong learning and experience, but here we go. Transcend and include is that we are all spiraling up. We are all doing this. Life doesn't happen in a linear fashion. Life happens as a spiral, and we are all evolving in consciousness through different layers of consciousness up to the highest. And Teilhard de Chardin would have called it the omega point. We're all evolving to the Christ consciousness, to that oneness consciousness, that understanding that everything is happening not to us, not for us, but with us. Everything is happening as we are. And transcend and include means that we go through a life experience and we evolve above it and we get beyond it. But we double back. We double back so that we learn and keep the lessons from it. And not only do we keep the lessons from it, we build on the lessons from it. So whatever that job that went away, whatever the lover who died, whatever the lover who left, whatever the painful experience was, becomes not something that keeps us chained to the past, but allows us to build a more vibrant future. So transcend and include is a teaching that makes us look at what we've learned, a teaching that makes us notice the good that did happen in our lives because of that person or that circumstance, and own the positivity of it. Own the positive example it leaves with us so that we build a solid foundation. In my book, Unapologetic Manifestation, and in our courses we teach on it, we talk about building a positive inventory. And I recommend it to everyone. Take a look at the successes of your life. You know, many of us will always tell you, oh yeah, I failed at that. I didn't do that well. I can't do that. You know, when we ask people to join the choir, I can't sing. That's the first thing they always say to me, is I can't sing. Everybody can sing. If you can speak, you can sing, right? It's true. If you can speak, you can sing. So, and everyone is teachable. Everyone is teachable. So that idea that we need to, and I invite you to look at this in your life. What are your biggest successes? What have you done really well, right? What were the tools, the spiritual, the physical, the mental tools that you used to achieve that good thing, the thing you're proud of? And to look at all the people you affected, the people you interacted with, the people you may never meet, who are blessed to be on this planet because of what you have done already in your life. And to know deep in your soul that those qualities, that truth about yourself is yours and no one can take it away. No thing that happens in the world, no event, no job, no relationship, no circumstance can ever take that quality from you. No, it's yours, and you can apply it going forward. And then you don't have to worry about what level of consciousness you're in. You know, you can look at, how does this experience reveal something deeper inside me? What strengths and tools carry me through? And you can also look at the shadow of that. What part of me do I bury or minimize? That I don't own my own self-worth. I don't own my power. Each and every one of you are a magnificent expression of divine energy and divine life. And your presence here on the planet is a miracle itself. And your playing small does not serve the world. So step up. Stop being the victim of the circumstance where life is happening to you. Stop being the superhero that thinks you have to do it all alone or you have to rush in and save someone else. You don't have to do it alone. None of us do it alone. That there was a study in the New York Times that came out on Friday. It was an opinion about someone who had studied people, successful people, and the one commonality they had among all successful people on the planet. Do you know what it was? They asked for help. That was the one thing that all successful people have in common. They don't believe they're doing it alone. And that is a superpower. The vessel consciousness to allow life to flow through you. When you allow life to flow through you, you have to expand your capacity. Something larger than you think you could handle. Stepping up to take a job. Raising your hand. Suzanne sitting in the front row. And she told a story last time she was on platform here about she was on a board where their executive director left, right? Of San Francisco Pride, the executive director left. And the board's left there going, well, who are we going to hire? And she goes, well, I can do it, right? So she raised her hand and has it expanded your capacity a little bit? Just a little bit, right? Stepping up to lead a group of LGBTQ plus people in San Francisco and around the world. Phew, can't imagine what kind of stressors that would be. But I'll let her tell more about that in her next talk. That's how we expand exactly who we're meant to be. By saying yes to the challenges of life. And verity consciousness or oneness consciousness. We talked about all those last week. I invite you to go back and listen to the podcast on them. But I want to reiterate something. Verity consciousness, I learned as something, and I used to describe it as something that I only ever occasionally touched. I would get a glimpse of this idea of oneness, this consciousness of being one with God, one with life itself, one with everyone on the planet. And I get little glimpses of it. What I realized in that understanding that my belief that I could only touch it was limiting me, A, and B, wasn't true. It was also excluding all the other levels of consciousness. And then I understood that verity consciousness was all of the consciousnesses. The victim, the victor, the vessel is verity consciousness. There is no verity without all the things below it. They all transcend and include in the evolution of life. And so as I move out of feeling like this happening to me, as I move out of feeling I have to rush in and fix it, as I move out of thinking that life is just flowing through me, I realize that it is all of it at once. And none of it is judged. All of it is leading me to my highest good. So those four together shift into a beautiful rainbow of understanding, a rainbow of human and spiritual consciousness all together as one. Life is happening with me. Life is happening as I participate in it. Life is the yin and the yang. Life is all of it. It cannot be separated. It is all one. So this is your opportunity to build the muscle. To build the muscle of understanding and the physical and spiritual muscle of being a lifelong learner, of transforming, not through some big dramatic breakthrough, aha, the clouds part and angels sing, but to a simple understanding that every slight sling and arrow, every disappointment, every breakthrough, awakening, every aha, every interaction is here to teach us. And we become a lifelong learner and shift from what could be to what truly is the wholeness of our divinity.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.